Good morning and blessings. Welcome to our gathered space, a space where we are welcomed by our God and invited to abide with Him, to focus on His Word, and to offer Him our worship. We will begin with our land acknowledgement. We acknowledge our presence on the lands of the Cree, Ojibwe, Dakota, and Métis nations. We recognize that we are guests on this land and will be mindful of our impact as we critically look at colonial histories and present-day implications. We acknowledge this as a first step in fulfilling our responsibility to commitment and commitment to truth and reconciliation. Today marks the beginning of our six-week sermon series based on the theme of Mennonite Church Canada's gathering, which is being held next weekend in Edmonton, Alberta. The title of this gathering and today's sermon is We Declare, taken from 1 John 1, verse 1. And it reads, "We declare to you what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life." What stories need to be told about God's work in our lives? And what stories need to be heard about God's work in the lives of others? The writer of Psalm 98 penned words that speak of praise to God for his work of salvation in ever-widening circles, first to Israel, then to all the earth, and finally to all creation. There are striking parallels between the first part of the psalm and Mary's Magnificat from Luke 1, verses 46 to 55. Which may mean that the mother of Jesus had Psalm 98 in mind as she composed her own hymn before the birth of her son. Perhaps she foresaw that the promises of the psalm were to be fulfilled in the spiritual victories to be achieved by the baby she carried, Jesus, the Christ child. Hear the words of Psalm 98. O sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have gotten him victory. The Lord has made known his victory. He has revealed his vindication in the sight of the nations. He has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the victory of our God. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth in joyous song and sing praises. Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre and the sound of melody, with the trumpets and the sound of the horn. Make a joyful noise before the King, the Lord. Let the sea roar and all that fills it, the world and those who live in it. Let the floods clap their hands and let the hills sing for joy at the presence of the Lord, for he is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the people with equity. Please join me as I offer a prayer of confession. That will be followed by a time of silent reflection and confession, and then I will end with an assurance of God's forgiveness. Let us pray. Jesus Christ, you are the eternal world by whom all things were created, by whom all things are redeemed, and by whom all things hold together. You tell us, do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Yet we confess that the troubles of our lives and the world overwhelm us. We forget your words. And we are often consumed by worry and fear. Full of fear, we doubt your goodness and your presence in the broken places of our lives and the world. Full of doubt, we turn away from you and from your people and grow cynical or apathetic. Forgive us. Speak peace to our troubled hearts. By your Spirit, give us the courage to enter those broken places and proclaim the hope and joy of your salvation. Lord, early in the morning we cry unto you. In you there is light when we cannot see. In you there is love, patience, and peace. Lord, we do not always understand your ways, but you know the way for us. Amen. Our singing today will be accompanied by video. And the first song is a song written by Phil Campbell Enns. It is called Greater Things Than These. It is on your first sheet with the musical score. This song was commissioned for the gathering that will happen next weekend in Edmonton. And it is being sung on the video by the Faith and Life Male Choir. So please stand and join in with the male choir.
Set you free. Follow. Good morning. That song will be our theme song for the 6 weeks of this sermon series, so you will get the chance to hear it and learn it again, and hopefully in a few weeks we'll have it down. I think it's a really beautiful song. So,
if you would take your blue hymnal and turn to 156, 156, All Things Bright and Beautiful. Again, our accompaniment will be through video. Just one little note, on the video, in the verses, where our printed words say God, they will be singing He. But feel free to sing what we have. So if you would stand, please, and we'll sing together. My apologies for forgetting to tell you, just to skip verse 2. There's a reason why there are special people that do worship music. Let's just take a moment and give thanks for the offering. And just as a little reminder, offering is received in a variety of ways. There's a spot at the back of the, in the foyer, on the table, that a plate where offering can be left, and then Peter can receive that also online through an e-transfer. Let us pray together. O God, you summon the day to dawn. You teach the morning to waken the earth. For you, the valleys sing for joy. The trees of the field clap their hands. For you, the kings of the earth shall bow, and the poor and the persecuted shall shout for joy. Your love and mercy shall last forever, fresh as the morning, sure as the sunrise. You invite us to share the gifts you have so abundantly shared with us. Give us courage to step out boldly, to plant our small seeds generously and without fear. Use our gifts to accomplish more than we could possibly imagine, so that through us, Your kingdom might come, and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. The scripture reading for this Sunday is from 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. And it is entitled, The Incarnation of the Word of Life. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared. We have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. Please join me in prayer for Pastor Terrell before he shares a message with us. Lord, you have gathered us today to hear the message that you have spoken into Pastor Terrell's heart and mind. Thank you for his willingness to serve you and to share what you have taught him. Open our ears, our minds, and our hearts to absorb what you desire us to learn. And now bless Pastor Terrell with peace, wisdom, and courage as he shares your message with us.
As Lorraine mentioned, 1 John chapter 1 provides the text for the gathering that's happening next week, the gathering with the title, We Declare. This theme is an important one for us to consider. Our congregations are in flux. Many congregations in MC Canada are aging and getting smaller in number, and many are seeking to reimagine themselves in new ways. At the same time, the role of the church broadly, not just MC Canada, but the role of the church broadly, is shifting away further from the center of society. We're no longer of cultural or political importance as we once were. And people don't just come to church anymore, no matter how much effort we might put in to having our local churches appear attractive. So what place does our distinctive Christian message, the gospel, have in a religiously plural and culturally diverse world? How can we speak of our faith in a society of many faiths and a society of no faith? A society that has also seen too well the harm that the church can inflict in the name of Jesus. Is it possible in all of this to imagine our churches proclaiming and living out a good news that is truly good news for humanity and all of creation, even to imagine new believers joining us in following Jesus in his good news way of love? The series for the rest of the summer will discuss these questions. I'm not going to touch all of those today, but we will hopefully lay some of the groundwork for our series, We Declare. And I thought it might be appropriate to begin this series by declaring for myself to you what I have seen and heard concerning Jesus, the Word of Life. Much like we read in John 1, what he is doing. I think in this way I will share a bit of my testimony. I have narrowed it down so as to keep on track to 3 points, very pastor-esque, but 3 occasions of my life where I have heard, felt, and seen God. The first occasion is when I saw God. When I was 8 years old, my mother and I were driving home from my grade 2 parent-teacher interviews in late October. We lived in rural Alberta, about 20 minutes from town, 20 minutes from the school. And it was already dark as we were headed home when we were driving and we struck a cow that had escaped its pasture and was on the road. Our car flipped several times and we ended up in an empty field, right side up, on the side of a country road. The windshield had shattered, but our seatbelts had held us in place. My mother lost consciousness and was bleeding profusely. And in the end, she would suffer 2 broken arms and she would lose her right eye. My own face felt like fire from the shattered glass. But other than that, I was uninjured. I have no concept of how long we sat there while I yelled into the dark country night for help. But eventually, it was the face of God who showed up. Well, that's what I saw anyway. God showed up in the form of a couple from our church who first approached the vehicle. I recognized them. They didn't recognize me, so I had to tell them who I was. And shortly later, I think they had rushed back to church where there had been a meeting of some form. And shortly later, the ambulances and my father arrived, and I met God again as the paramedics kept me talking and awake, first on a trip to the local rural hospital and then on the way to Calgary, the larger hospital. Now, an 8-year-old doesn't think too theologically about things, or I didn't anyway, but that was the first time where it really struck me that God was there, out there, there, period. Our family changed a lot that night. I was in the hospital for 3 days, received 40 stitches in my face for the cuts. My mother was in the hospital a week and needed many months of recovery. During that time, our church family became the face of God. They sacrificed a great deal to take care of the pastor, who was my father, and his family. Time off of work, meals, house cleaning. It was a labor of love for our church family to care for us. And again, each time a new person came with a hot dish or with something to support us, I saw the face of God. I have heard it say that the first place children learn about Jesus is from the Bible, but I don't think that's true, or at least it wasn't for me. The first place I learned about Jesus was through the actions of our church family. Through the face of God showing up in times of need, through the church community giving sacrificially of itself. And I learned that this is a God who is present amidst hardship and who sacrifices for the other. The second occasion is when I felt God. Jumping forward in life, after high school, I went on the out-of-town program through Canadian Mennonite University, a discipleship program, where we traveled around Western Canada for a few months, and then our site, 30-some of us, went to South Africa for 3 months on this journey. And it was the program where Jana, my wife, and I met. At the time, South Africa was home to the Guinness World Record for the highest bungee jump location on Earth. It was called the Blue Crans Bridge. Our site, our group, had the opportunity to jump. We weren't forced. Jana didn't jump, but most of us did. I remember feeling very calm in my lead up to this bungee jump. But after getting harnessed in, I was guided out to the edge of the bridge, where I looked down at the deep valley below and the river that looked like just a tiny little stream. For those of you who have seen Wile E. Coyote and Roadrunner cartoons, that picture of that tiny stream at the bottom of the canyon, that's really what it felt like as I looked down. And after a countdown, I jumped off. Now, music had been blaring up top, probably to distract you from what you were about to do, but it was loud, and the second I jumped off, it was complete and utter silence and stillness. Believe it or not, those couple seconds of falling were really peaceful. And when I reached the end of the bungee cord and it tightened around my legs and began to slow me down and eventually to bring me back up, my whole body was tensed and I felt the breath squeeze out of me. But instead of it being kind of a normal exhale, instead, what squeezed out of me were the words, "Thank you, God." It was really weird. It was wild, and I had not intentionally said that. It felt like in that moment I was being squeezed, and what was coming out was God. That's a weird analogy, but that's what it felt like. And what it meant to me was that when I had learned when I was younger that God was indeed there or out there, I was now learning that God was inside of me as well, coming out involuntarily at times. In that moment, God took over and I felt fully God's. And that sense of God within me wanting to come out and be made known has stuck with me. Now, I don't see myself as special or having that when others don't. I think God is in each one of us, and I don't even mean just those of us who follow Jesus, I think, or who seem to say and do all the right things. I think God is in each of us and in each person we meet. God is in them waiting to be seen and heard and felt by those of us who are seeking God. The third occasion is when I heard God, and this story is much more recent. I admit to having some uncertainties coming here to serve you. I have not ministered in a couple years, and in fact, I'll be honest, I haven't had a whole lot of human interaction in the last couple years. Lots of it through school has been through video, that's how Lorraine and I met, through classes, and other than that, it's been a lot of just our family and that kind of thing. And so I had uncertainties about what that would mean for me. And it was also had uncertainties about this role. This is a new kind of role for me. In fact, it's not a common role for really any pastor to have. Interim pastors often come in to transition churches to a new pastor once an old one has left. That's frequently what happens. But that's not the case here. And so I wondered, what would be my role? I shared these uncertainties with leadership last week. They've heard this a few times now, some of them. And in response, God spoke to me through the voices of those present, saying, "You don't need to fill any sort of role. Just come and be yourself." And it might have seemed a small thing to the others, but it was a burden lifted from my shoulders. It was as if God was accepting me for who I am, and that Christ's work through me would be enough. Part of my own securities, and maybe I think I share this with lots of people, is needing to earn something, needing to be deserving or be worthy. But God was saying there was nothing I needed to do to be worthy. Christ loves and accepts me, and in faith we call this grace. So that was a big weight lifted off, and a reminder to me that God feels that way for each and every person, that God accepts others as they are as well and finds them infinitely worthy as well. The same grace given to me, I now ought to extend to others. So those are three occasions that I'm declaring to you where I have seen and heard and felt God. And I did that partly to let you get to know me a bit better, but I wanted to do what is happening in these verses. These are the times when God has been made real to me. And I think that's what the author of 1 John is doing as well. Speaking of their personal experience of seeing and touching and hearing Jesus as the living word of life. Now, they do this in their text in order to prove that Jesus was indeed the Son of God and a human. both of those things. That Jesus could be heard and felt, but Jesus was also one with the Father. The community to which this letter, it's not even really a letter, it's more like a manual or a sermon or something like that, but the community to whom this is being addressed was having some division over this issue. A number of them could not possibly believe that Jesus was a human. It was too much to imagine that Jesus could be human and God. That was too far beyond. But for this author who had seen and touched and felt Jesus, he knew Jesus to be human, and that was important. If Jesus was just God, then we would have a picture of who God is, but because Jesus is also human, he has given us a new way to be human. I think that was important for this author. Jesus has given us a new model for human relationships with each other and with God, built on some of the same principles that I tried to impart to you through my stories, principles of sacrifice, a God of grace, a God who dwells within us and within each person. So for the author of 1 John, these new ways of relating to each other are summed up in one word he uses, and that word is fellowship. Verse 3, it says, "What we have seen and heard, we declare to you so that you may have fellowship with us." The reason for declaring what we have seen and heard is to build fellowship. Now, fellowship is a uniquely faith-based word. It's not used anywhere outside, I think, the Christian faith. But it's not just sharing about one's... Fellowship means to share life together. But it's not just sharing about one's life. It's literally sharing that life together, doing life together, laughing and loving together, grieving and giving together, forgiving and serving together in the name of Jesus. Now, there are few, maybe no congregations in the world who have as close a bond to the word fellowship as does this congregation, and in particular, some of the people here this morning. Now, do you know why? I'm not going to quiz you. I'm going to tell you in case you don't know, because it would be embarrassing if you didn't. Just kidding. Fellowship comes from the Greek word koinonia. Some of you maybe caught on earlier. I don't know. But that's what koinonia means. Shared life is fellowship, is koinonia. So we have that close connection. Koinonia means to share life. Now, I know that one of the traditions at camp, every single week, Camps with Meaning, and at Koinonia, is that every evening, one of the staff shares something about their life to the whole camp. And another way of putting it is that they are declaring to the campers and to the other staff what they have seen and heard and felt of God, much like 1 John. And I just love that tradition. I'm happy it's continued. I love it because they are building fellowship. They're living out the name of their camp. Now, why do those kinds of things? Well, to build koinonia, to create community, even at camp, even just for a week. That is a community that is shaped and formed by the stories that are being told. And then in a congregation like this, we get more than just a week to share life together. And here it's important for us to also declare what we have seen and heard to each other. I think this is where 1 John has us starting. We're not even yet at testifying to our faith outside these walls, to the community, to the broader world. Right now, we're just starting with declaring to each other what we know, what we have seen and heard. I think that's the foundation of our ministry to the world, starts with ministering to each other. We are to do this all the time, in our services, in our times of fellowship downstairs. There we go, there's the name for it. In our, maybe around our tables as well, but we're to declare to each other what we have seen and heard of Jesus at all times. These stories of God then become part of who we are. They shape us and form us. As my experiences of God, as one who sacrifices for me, one who dwells in me, one who accepts me. As those stories have shaped who I am, I hope they will also shape who you are. And I hope that as I hear your stories, that they will shape me as well. And together, as we share these stories, we will be shaped into a more Christ-like image. Now, I wonder if you feel like you have those opportunities to share, to declare what you have seen and heard. How could we make space for those? And I'm honestly curious to hear, and you can talk to me at some point, and we can share with each other at some point about where we might have those opportunities to share. The service, it might be a time, like I said, fellowship might be another time. Within our families might be a time as well. It can be, I wonder if it can be awkward to think of just out of the blue sharing. But it doesn't have to be. It can be easy. You can share where you have seen God at work this week, this year, in your lifetime. You can start easy. You can ask your kids these things. Where did you see God at work this week? These are questions that begin to get at where we have heard and seen and felt God. And we can declare to each other and together be formed. Jana and I ended our ministry in Gretna just as the pandemic was hitting in 2020. And that really left us without a church family to call our own for years, really, until now. And I felt that loss pretty keenly. It was a loss of community, but also it was somehow a loss of connection with God. And that makes sense. I wonder if you've also felt that during the pandemic, when we lost community in a way of not being able to gather together. We lost koinonia, right? We lost shared life together. Did that also affect your connection with God? For me, it did. And it makes sense if we look at back at our text and we read the rest of verse 3, which started with what we have seen and heard, we declare to you so that you may have fellowship with us. And then it goes on and says, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. There's a horizontal element to fellowship that we've been talking about, where we share life with one another. But there is also a vertical element to fellowship, where we are sharing life with God. And they are intertwined. In this text, they're intertwined so much that one cannot even have fellowship with God if one does not have fellowship on the horizontal plane with each other, with a community of faith, which is why I think it is so important to declare to each other what we have seen and heard. It is vitally important for us to reconnect, especially after a time of the pandemic where we haven't been sharing together. Now we are sharing life together again. And then this becomes the foundation of our witness to the world. That's what we'll begin to talk about in the next few weeks. Sharing life with each other now means to share life with God. And out of that shared life, our witness will flow out from us, from this community, to the world. So my hope is that we would each be presented with places to declare what we have seen and heard. And my prayer is that we would have the courage to do so. Amen. In a minute, we're going to have communion. I thought I had a song in between to put my microphone on, but I don't. So I'm going to do that now, and then we will have some time of communion together. Can you hear me? All right. Excellent. At the communion table, we reflect on the sacrifice God made out of great love for us in sending his Son into the world as a vulnerable, helpless baby. to endure the trials of human suffering, to show us the way of being human, and to reconnect us with God, and to die, so that we might find eternal life. At this table, we unite together as we celebrate our salvation through Jesus as a church family, and we celebrate our unity as believers. We may have differences, we may have disagreements, but on this day, at this time, we are united by the blood and body of Christ. This is part of our fellowship, our shared life, our koinonia. So, brothers and sisters, welcome to the table. But this isn't an ordinary table, not ordinary eating and drinking, for the dinner host is God, and the one who resides is Christ, and all believers are the guests. And the food is the power of the flesh and the spilled blood of Jesus. Who is invited to partake? Those for whom Christ is Lord. Those who have a hearty faith in the love of God and the Word. Those who are filled with remorse for their sins and trust in their hearts that God forgives sinners for Christ's sake. And those who seek to live in obedience to God, heeding the voice of our shepherd, Jesus Christ. I have a few instructions. I'm going to uncover both of these. And yes, it's ironic that the one giving instructions hasn't done this before, but I think we'll get it through. A few points of instructions. In a few moments, I'll ask you to come forward. You will use the side aisles to come forward and line up here. When you get to this place, the first person on each line will come forward, so you and your partner across the way will stand here. There are words here that are written from you. You will take the bread and hold it up and say, "The body of Christ broken for you." Then your partner will also pick up the bread and say those words back, "The body of Christ broken for you." After they've picked up the bread, they will pick up the cup and say, "The blood of Christ shed for you." And these words are written here. This is a way of blessing each other. And so when that person has said, picked up the cup, then the first person will again pick up the cup and return those words, "The blood of Christ shed for you." So it is an exchange of blessing back and forth, and when you have blessed each other and you have both your elements, you will return down the center aisle and find your places again. And you'll wait, and then once everyone is served, we will eat together. For anyone who, children or others who are not partake of the elements, I also have grapes and pretzels and a blessing for the children. I will be over here. You are welcome to come up while others are coming up. Come and find me. But I'll be over here, and I'd love to give you those and give you a blessing as well. All right. Hear these words of invitation to the table. While they were eating, Jesus took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body. Do this in remembrance of me." Afterwards, Jesus took the cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from this, all of you, for this is the blood of my covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." I invite you now, when you feel comfortable, to come forward and line up. Thank you.
have all been served who wish? Okay. Then, taste and see that the Lord is good. Let's eat. I want to invite you to stand for a closing prayer, followed by a song and then the benediction. But would you please rise? Let's pray together. Holy and gracious God, here at this table, your promise of life is made tangible. We have rested in the depth of your love. We have tasted your nourishing, nurturing presence. We accept you into our bodies, into our lives. Together at this table, you have offered us life. Together by your grace, we accept the life you offer. Lord, we wait for the fullness of life to come to us and to all creation in the coming of Jesus. Help us to wait in hope. For all of these good things, we give you thanks. Amen.
Back of your song sheet are the words for the song, The Mountain of God. This is another song that Phil Campbell Ends of Winnipeg has written. He is actually singing in the video that we will be singing with, and I promise you he's singing all of these verses.
Go to a place that is pure to learn about love and wipe away tears. He'll melt swords of steel and hearts made of stone. He'll set prisoners free and give strangers a home. So come, come as you are. Oh, come from near and far. From each corner and end of the earth, we'll gather together to sing of your worth. A blind who can see and weary who rest. Good news for the poor, freedom for oppressed. So come, come as you are. Oh, come from near and far. We'll taste as we climb. from near and far. Oh, come, salvation we'll taste as we climb the mountain of God.
Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.